Al Maghrib Institute presents Usul As-Sunnah by Sheikh Waleed Bassouni, Part 3.
Okay, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. As I said, I'm just going to give you in the middle just to break the sessions to make it easy on you. Something about the life of Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was born in Baghdad 164 Hijri. And he died 241 Hijri, so he lived 77 years. 77 years. He started his learning by studying under one of the great fuqaha and judges at that time. His name Abu Yusuf, al-Qadi Abu Yusuf. He's a student of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. That's why Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, one of the first early books that he read were the work of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And that may be explained to us. There is so much commonality between the Hanabila and the Hanafiya, by the way. Yani, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, usually in the form of Dhahab, split 2-2, you'll find the Hanbali, Hanafi together, Maliki, Shafi'i together, in most of the time. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, by starting like this, but he, rahimahullah, start learning the hadith and devoted his time to collect the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and became more towards the madrasa, the schools of Ahlul Hadith. And he traveled the whole entire known places at that time of where the famous shuyukh are to collect the knowledge. Mecca, Al-Basra, Al-Madinah, Yemen. And he traveled to Yemen to study under a great scholar in Yemen, his name Abdul Razzaq Al-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, who originally from Mecca, but he visited Yemen and they got him married in Yemen, so he settled in Yemen. They tied his legs in Yemen by doing that. Anyway, Imam Abdul Razzaq Al-San'ani, Imam Ahmad went to Hajj. So him and Yahya bin Ma'in planning after Mecca to go to Yemen just to see Imam Al-San'ani. All of the sudden, while they're making tawaf, they saw Imam Al-San'ani making tawaf. So Yahya bin Ma'in said, "This is Imam Al-San'ani, Abdul Razzaq, making Hajj." So great news. And Yahya bin Ma'in said, "Alhamdulillah, we don't need to travel to Yemen. It's, traveling to Yemen from Saudi Arabia with this modern days by car, it's like very hard. Very hard. It's mountains, it's very hard drive. So imagine any caravan and stuff like that. It's just very hard to travel." Then they say, alhamdulillah, after they attend his class, they talk to him, they hear the hadith. After Hajj, all of a sudden, Imam Ahmad, he said to his friend Yahya bin Ma'in, "I'm still going to Yemen." He said, "Why?" Imam Ahmad refused to hear what he was planning to hear from Al-San'ani in Mecca. He said, "Because I had the intention to travel for the sake of Allah to Yemen, and since I intend to do something good, I'm not going to change ever a good intention." Good intention should not be changed. That's very sensitive. That shows you there's a very sensitive heart, very قلب رقيق نية صافية سبحان الله. So he said, "I'll still go there because my intention originally to go there." And he went, rahimahullah, all the way to Yemen, and he couldn't find any money in his trip to Yemen. He said, "I even had a pair of shoes. Okay, I sold them to get some money to give it to the person." Imagine he will walk now barefoot just to let that person who going with the caravan to take me with him. And he told me that the money is not enough. Then he said, "So I will work for you as Jamal. Yani I will take care of the camels, feed them, clean them, bring food to them, water to them. And this for this service, you will allow me to travel with you all the way to Yemen in return." Allahu Akbar. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, if you read in Bidayah wa Nihaya by Ibn Kathir, how he talked about this Imam, you will be amazed. And Ibn Kathir is not Hanbali as a person to say, okay, he's from this madhab, this school, but he wrote tens of pages about the life of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, as well as Imam al-Dhahabi, as well as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said about Imam al-Shafi'i is the Shaykh of Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad, one of his teachers, al-Shafi'i. Imam Ahmad, his son Abdullah, heard him in Qiyam al-Layl. Every time he makes Qiyam al-Layl, Imam Ahmad. And by the way, Qiyam al-Layl for Imam Ahmad, it is something very important. That's why when he was told about a student of knowledge, he was traveling with one of the student of knowledge, and he noticed that this student didn't make Qiyam al-Layl. Then he said, "We are traveling." He said, "Walaw, even though if you're traveling, you don't miss Qiyam al-Layl." Then he said, طالب علم لا يقوم الليل رجل سوء. طالب علم who does not make قيام الليل is an evil person. He's an evil student of knowledge. He's a bad student of knowledge. قال رجل سوء. He was so sensitive about the issue of قيام الليل رحمه الله تعالى. Anyway, his son heard him in قيام الليل making dua for Imam al-Shafi'i. His son never met al-Shafi'i, died Shafi'i rahimahullah before his son met him. Then he said, "Ya Imam," you know al-Shafi'i used to live in Iraq, then he moved to Egypt later on. So Imam Ahmad's son never met. So he said, "Ya Abi, my father, who is this Shafi'i that every night you mention him by name?" And this is so beautiful, yani sometimes when we make dua for our friends, we just said, "Oh Allah, for my brothers and my sisters and my teachers." But this is not yani the right of your teachers upon you. If you really benefited from him or her, you should mention her by name. "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani ighfir for Shaykhna, Shaykh Idris, for sister, for Shaykhatana, Shaykh Farhat Hashmi, for example, for those who study here, for Shaykhna, Shaykh bin Ba'd," by name. Imam Ahmad, all his life, mentioned Shafi'i by name. Then his son said, "Who's that Shafi'i that you every time you pray, you mention him and you make dua for him in your night?" And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, had about 100 people. He mentioned them by name in his witr. Anyway, one of them is Shafi'i, and the first one, one of the first one. So he said, "Ya Bunay, al-Shafi'i kana kashams lid-dunya. وَالْعَافِيَ لِلنَّاسِ." Ya Bunay, my son, al-Shafi'i was like the sun for this earth. Can this earth survive without sun? Huh? And he said, وَالْعَافِيَ لِلْأَبْدَانِ. And health, he was like the health for the bodies. Can you survive if you don't have a healthy body? No. He said, that's al-Shafi'i. Without al-Shafi'i, no ilm, no knowledge, nothing. This is Imam Shafi'i's teacher. Listen to what he said about Imam Ahmad. Upon his leaving to Egypt, he said, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and Shafi'i, his teacher, but by the way, don't understand Shafi'i like Ahmad is a kid and this is old man. No, they are like 10, 15 years old, maybe difference of age. It's still around that, yeah, and he's still kind of in the same level. But he respect him as his sheikh. He said that Imam Ahmad was imam. You know what imam means? Do I need to translate the word imam? Imam, the head of, the leader, the best of. Imam in Quran. Imam in hadith. Imam in sunnah, imam in fiqh. What sunnah means? Let me test you now. Huh? Aqeedah, belief, creed, when it comes to the aqeedah. Very good. Do you now appreciate the different categories? So when you read a statement like this, you know what that means. Imam in fiqh, imam in Arabic language, imam fil faqri wal wara'i wal zuhd, and being an ascetic, and wara, a person who avoid what is halal because it might lead him to haram. He's a very careful about protecting his religion. And al-faqr, a person who avoided dunya and he lived in a very simple life. That's what Shafi'i rahimahullah said about him. Upon his leaving also, he said, I left Baghdad and I have never ever never seen anybody in Baghdad will be in any way close to Imam Ahmed's level. So make sure that you take advantage of him. I don't need to live in Iraq anymore. If you have Ahmed, he's enough for you. Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah used to give fatwa before he had a single hair in his face. Before having a single hair in his face yet. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Okay, that's good enough about life of Imam Ahmed. We'll tell you more in future. Yes, sister, go ahead, read. Okay, good. He said here, it's you guys have the right page, page 22. She said the abandonment of controversies, the abandonment of sitting with the people of al-ahwa, and basically argumentation. Right. This is a very good and important... Can you fix the microphone? I need the microphone. This is also very good and important advice, and I want to make two quick comments. There is a lot of people enjoy controversial issues. And their ilm and their deen and their practice is based on controversial issues. This is not the way of Ahl Sunnah. If the first thing you learn is the controversial issues, is the things that you master very good are the controversial issues, I guarantee you, you're missing the basics. You're missing the foundations. You're missing the usul. A lot of people these days, a lot of students these days, student of knowledge, they will know the issues where there is debate and fight between the scholars, and debate the scholars over it and stuff like that, but they will not even know the foundation of the whole thing. What the base for this opinion? What the base of this statement? I'll give you example of controversial issues. Controversial issues, hard to mention. Okay, I hope this nobody will start thinking whom I'm referring to or just the idea itself. Sheikh, I said yes. So and so, Sheikh, or da'iyah, or a caller, or a student of knowledge. I heard him saying, celebrating birthday is okay. And this isn't the Sheikh and Sheikh. I saw him saying this statement about that person or in this area. Then I said, okay, how much do you benefit from that scholar or that student of knowledge? Now, all my reading is surrounding the controversial issue or position or statement that that student of knowledge did or made. And I don't learn from him the other areas. For example, I might say, Walid Bastini made a statement, it may be a controversial issue. Maybe you don't like my position in, let's say, the one I just mentioned about the Arab Peninsula. For example, I see some faces was not very happy with my statement, for example, or surprised with it. Let's say you don't like this point. But if this is going to be your concentrating point, you're already missing the way. Because the point is, the main point is, the authority of the understanding of the companions. So instead of focusing on the foundations and the principle, you start focusing on the controversial issues, examples, points, statements, words. If this is your methods, you're not upon the way of Ahl Sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ. The one who have desires in their hearts, who have bad intention in their heart, they follow the mutashabih of the Quran, the mutashabih of the speech, the unclear, the controversial meanings. That's what they're looking for. But those who are upon the straight path, they follow the muhkam, the clear. So that's why one of the controversial issues, talking about groups in da'wah, groups who exist. Some people, all the knowledge, he knows so much about group, tabligh group, ikhwan group, salaf group, madri ish group, this sheikh, that all what he knows. He mastered controversial issues, branches, and he leave the foundation. Leave the sunnah. He doesn't know the way of Abu Bakr and Umar. This is wrong. That's a wrong methodology. The second point I want to point out in this beautiful sayyid of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that he said with the people of Ahwa. Again, going back to that I said earlier, this is a terminology was given to the innovators. They call them what? They call them what? Ahlul Ahwa, the people of Hawa, desire. Beautiful. And that's what they are. They don't follow Huda. Not Huda school. No. They don't follow Huda, which is Hidayah, guidance from Allah. They follow desires. They see the truth, but they go against it. That's why they are Hawa. They see evidence, but they go with what they desire, not what they believe in. Give you example in public, in average people today in the Muslim world. They hear. A sheikh said very weird fatwa, but it goes according to their desire. Okay? He said, for example, mortgage is halal. Okay? Then he saw, sheikh so-and-so said mortgage is halal. Then he followed the sheikh. طيب. The same exact person, when you teach him sunnah, said, ya akhi, when you go to the masjid and you pray, you put your hand in your chest or you move, you put, point your finger. What the logic he used? I haven't seen anybody did that. All the shuyukh don't do that. That's right? Isn't that how people argue with you when you give sunnah? They always goes with the numbers. That's right? You guys agree with me? I faced this a lot when I was growing up with numbers. Now when it comes to mortgage, he doesn't look to numbers. Tabi'ahi, all the scholars it's haram except this one or two. Why you switch your methodology now? Why you switch lanes? Why you switch? Why? Because desire. Hawa. You see? So the people, Ahlul Bid'ah, call them the fall of desire. It's a perfect description. So make sure that you don't follow your desires when you look to the evidence. When you look to the Sharia. You're not following your desire. You're following what is truth. That's one. Two. It is sad today that some of the people who against the Sunnah, they call themselves, and we start giving them names which is make them even popular. Like today people said that call them in Arabic Al-Aqlaniyun, the intellect. Wallahi, no intellect, wala intellect, well, they haven't seen anything called intellect. La aql wala shay. They have no intellect at all. They are intellectual people. They are thinker. They're not thinker. They're not intellect. They are people following hawa, desire. That's what it is. They don't make any sense. And they say, the modern. You know what? We are the modern. Modern for any. What's modern? About being opposing the Sunnah. That's not modern. The moderate Muslim. You see? They gave them these names to promote them. Ahl Sunnah, they did better job in the past. They didn't let anybody to hijack these names from them. They gave them the name they deserve. They said they are the people of desire. And that's the most common name that they use. And that's very, very smart in when it comes to using terminologies to refer to yourself or to those who oppose the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I will talk more about some of these. Go ahead, continue. Okay. Here, the main point I would like to discuss with you, when he said there is no analogical reason in the Sunnah, and examples or likeness are not to be made for it. What that means? What that means? Isn't we intellect people? Should we use analogical reasoning? The Quran and Sunnah full of that. So what they mean by that? Ibn Abbas said there is no qiyas. There is no analogy in Islam or in Sunnah. And he said whoever follow qiyas, analogy, he will live his life in iltibas, in confusion. What Ahl Sunnah when it comes to using intellect, to you, one way of using intellect is to make analogy. Anybody knows what's analogy? Anybody can define analogy for us? Okay, anybody can give me example of analogy? He said, okay, I'll give you example. I cannot define, but can I give you example? Make an analogy. Yes, sister. That's like a metaphorical speech. It's method. Yeah, it could be. Yes, brother. You make an analogy. It's allowed to transfer blood from one person to another, as we are allowed to breastfeed a baby, a woman who's not related to a baby, to breastfeed him, to give him a life, and this blood will give him a life. Analogy. Analogy is to give ruling, to give. To give the ruling of an well-established issue to another new issue because of the similarity between them. Yani, I have one issue, I know the ruling related to this issue established already in Quran and Sunnah. Then I use this as a reference point. Then I come to a new issue, like the breastfeeding, well established in Quran and Sunnah. The new issue is transferring blood from one person to another. So I give the same ruling from that point, the reference point, to the new one because of the similarity. What's the similarity? Saving that life of this human. Okay? Give you another example. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about cats. Anybody has cats here at home? Okay, good. Cats. You know, cats, they are sometimes licking themselves, cleaning themselves, and touching with their nose, their feces and stuff like that. I'm grossing you out from your own cats. Okay. Then this cats go and put their mouth in your plate. Would your plate be najis? Why? It's najasa. It's najis. So, would it be najis? How can I deal with it? The Prophet ﷺ said, it will not, you don't need to wash this plate. You don't need to wash your clothes. It's not going to make it najis. For what? He said, لِأَنَّهُنَّ مِنَ الطَّوَّافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَّافَاتِ. Because these cats are all roaming around inside the house, and it is became very hard for you to protect yourself from their saliva or their mouth. So that's why, because it's very hard to protect yourself from it, it became very hard for you to do that, because they're living basically literally with you. It, even if there is najasa, it is forgiven. It is forgiven. Type. So the ruling clear here. Somebody make another ruling. I am having in the house. Huh? No. Not a dog. Dog is not a good example. Because there is a specific dalil. What other pet the people have in the house? Rabbits. Very good. Rabbit. I have a rabbit at my home. Or I have, for example, lizard. Okay, I have a bird in my house. Lion? Okay, so if you have something like that in your home, and these things is exactly take, the ulama give the example of the goat, actually. The fuqaha give the example of the goat. Because the goats also almost the old days goes inside the house and outside because it attached to the barn and stuff like that. So it will be very hard for you to protect yourself from it. It will, you don't need to clean after. You don't need to say, oh, it's najis, let me wash. No. Why? Because of the similarity. So there is no hadith talking about the goats, the rabbits, whatever lizard that you have in your home, but you give the same ruling for it. That's what you call analogy. The analogy, there is similarity between both of them. That's why the brother said, dog. Dog is not similar to these, because the dog, there is specifically hadith saying, if the dog touch or eat or drink from utensils, you have to wash it 7 times, one of them with sand. There's no similarity, but it has to be similarity, and the reasoning is the same, applied to both. The illat al-hukm, wahid. Ilhaqu hukmin, hukmi aslim bifar'in, we said in Arabic, ilhaqu hukmi aslim bifar'in, lijami'i al-mushtaraki baynahuma, tamthilan aw tafadulan, ithbatan aw intifa'an, which is, I don't know how to translate this. inshallah, if I teach usul fiqh, inshallah, one day, I'll tell you. But this is very, very interesting concept. Very, very interesting concept, the concept of qiyas. Anyway, so is there is analogy in Sharia? Yes. Listen, is there is opinions in Sharia? Can somebody give an opinion about something? Can I express my opinion about any issues? Let's see what's the evidence that we have in Quran and Sunnah related to this. One, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has a chapter in his book in Sahih al-Bukhari said, Babu dhammi al-ra'i wal-qiyas. A chapter of criticizing opinions and analogy, using opinion and analogy. وتكلف القياس. And يعني when you use the analogy a lot, he said the criticism of this. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah 36, verse 17, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't speak of what you have no knowledge of. And he said, the knowledge is not what came in by opinions or analogy. Quran or Sunnah. Also, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah criticized using analogy and criticized using opinion in religion. And he used the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. If you disagree on something, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. And Imam al-Shafi'i said, Allah didn't say, referring to your opinions or your analogies. Which is the verse in Surah, I think what? Surah 3, verse 4. Or Surah 4. Forgot the number of the verse now. Anyway, al-Bukhari also said, in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will not take this knowledge at once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the knowledge by taking the soul of the scholars. So when all the scholars die, people will appointed people to, ignorant people to lead them. And those ignorant people see, listen carefully. فَيُفْتُونَ بِالرَّأِي Sahih al-Bukhari. They will give answers and fatwa based in their opinion. So they will mislead people. So they used very clear criticism to using opinion. And they are the worst. And those are the worst people in that, in earth at that time. Also, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was asked about the verse in Quran, which is reported by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari with authentic narration. He said, I didn't hear anything from the Prophet ﷺ related to the meaning of this verse. He said, what is your opinion? Then he said, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ أَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُظِلُّنِي إِن قُلْتُ فِي آيِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ بِرَأْيِي. What on the earth and the heavens, what place I will be in heaven and earth, if I would say about a verse in Quran from my own opinion. I can't do that. Umar said, the people who use their opinions, the people who use their analogy and opinion, Ashab al-Ra'i, the enemy of the Sunnah. Ashab al-Ra'i, A'da'u al-Sunan. The people of al-Ra'i are the enemy of the Sunnah. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, if deen is based on intellect, on opinions, we should not wipe over the socks. We should wipe in the bottom of the feet. When we wipe over the socks, we should go over the socks from the bottom. But to clean it, if using analogy and intellect, you should wipe the bottom, not the top. Ibn Abbas said, whoever tried to understand the religion based on analogy and just intellect, he said his life will be in misery and confusion. مَنْ طَلَبَ دِينَهُ بِالْقِيَاسِ لَمْ يَزَلْ دَهْرُهُ فِي الْتِبَاسِ. Az-Zuhri said, which is one great scholar among the Tabi'een, said, be aware of using qiyas, be aware of the people of Ra'i, those who use intellect and opinion. They are the people who could not understand the ahadith, so instead of focusing on understanding the hadith, they start using their opinions and making these analogies. And I have for you maybe tons of narrations, all of them what? Criticizing, using analogy or any type of intellect or giving opinion. Okay? This side. But is it fair enough to say that? No. Listen. Al-Quran, in tens of verses, Allah asks us to use our intellect. He said, look, think, analyze, In so many verses in the Quran. Surah 44 verse 16. Sorry. Surah 16 verse 44. Surah 3 verse 13. Surah 59 verse 2. And so many like this. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, the one who have intellect. The one who use their brain, their mind. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So they might think. Okay? Also, Al-Quran give us a lot of examples. The example of this like this. So, what do we call that? What do you call that? Very good. So, also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah 4 verse 83, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. If they refer this matter to the Prophet and to the Ulil Amr, the scholars among them, they will know how to analyze it. Huh? Also, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, and the Hadith al-Bukhari and Muslim, when the judge in an issue and does his ijtihad, his opinion, and it was correct, he will be rewarded twice. And if he's wrong, he will be rewarded once. So he gives ijtihad, which is his own opinion. Does that make sense? Okay. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was asked about an issue at Kul al-Kalala. It's in fiqh of the inheritance. He said, أَقُولُ فِيهَا بِرَأْيِي. And I haven't heard anything from the Prophet. I'm giving you my own opinion. Interesting. Umar radiallahu anhu arda'ah said to Shuraih al-Qadi, the judge, he said, if there is anything come to you, you couldn't find verse in the Quran, or text from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or fatwa from anyone, from Abu Bakr or any one of the companions, if you wish, you can judge it based on your own opinion. قَالَ فَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَاجْتَهِدْ فِيهَا بِرَأْيِكَ وَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَدَعَ. Or if you want, don't judge it. Yani just leave it, don't give a judgment. So he told him, you can use your opinion to give an answer to this incident. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu arda was asked about something, then he said, أَقُولُ فِيهَا بِرَأْيِي. I'm telling you my opinion. Do you want more? I quoted to you Zuhri, Imam Zuhri. Ibn Abd al-Barr, in his book, Jami' Bayan Ilm Fadli, have quoted, and if you're interested, I don't think we have time for that, he quoted 80 successors who give fatwa, and he comment by saying, this is my opinion, this is my analogy, this is my ijtihad. That side. What do you guys think? It's interesting, that's right. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, فَانْظُرْ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ الْمُتَلَاطِمَيْنِ تَعَالَتْ أَمْوَاجُهُمَا وَانْظُرْ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْجَيْشَيْنِ قَدْ عَلَى غُبَارُهُمَا. He said, look at these two oceans of evidence meeting each others. And look at these two army of evidence, which is the dust of each army is way reaching to the, يعني, to the sky, because it's a huge army meeting each other in a battlefield. Which one will win? The group in this side or the group in this side? It's interesting how you find dust. So that means those people, they don't contradict each other. We know that the Quran and Sunnah don't contradict each other. So that must mean something special about the meaning of qiyas, analogy, and intellect in using opinion. That means there is a bad analogy, a bad methods of using opinions, and there is something acceptable. With this, we unite these two armies together against the one who don't follow the Sunnah. How can you do that? Look at the methodology of the companions. How they look at this area. And how can you find out? By looking at their statement and the one who studied under them from the tabi'in. By giving you the bottom line, because of the time, we found that certain facts, first of all, these facts are that the word opinion and analogy are very, it's an ambiguous terminologies. It's a very general. It could mean something, refer to something good and something bad. Also, we found that there is no consensus, no consensus to criticize analogy and opinion, and there is no consensus to praise using analogy or opinion. That's right? That's a fact that we found. So let's explore what they meant by criticizing analogy. What they were referring to by said there is no analogy. You cannot use intellect. What is Imam Ahmad talking about? One, if this opinion or this analogy based on ignorant, it's used by ignorant, not a knowledgeable person. How did we figure that out? Because the Hadith al-Bukhari said, when the scholars die, the ignorant people remain. So they will choose an ignorant person among them to lead them, and he will give his opinion. So that opinion came out of ignorant, not knowledge. If it came based on ilm, it would be acceptable. But if it came out of an ignorant person, it's not acceptable. That's why when you see somebody who said, oh, he's a sheikh or da'i or whatever he is, and he's not knowledgeable in sharia, I said, wallahi, my opinion that this is the meaning of. Hold on, your opinion, keep it for yourself until you learn the ilm. You're not yet capable of making an opinion yet. If you don't have ilm, be quiet. Don't say, my analogy is this. Don't say, my opinion is this. If you do that, you end up innovators or joining the innovator methodologies. And that's a very important lesson. Hold on into your opinions and your analogies to publicize it until you begin. You have ilm. But if you don't have ilm, you stop. Because if you don't stop, you're entering to the wrong direction. Two, the Salaf radiallahu anhu mu'ardahum have criticized the opinion and the analogy that they use to cancel textual evidence. They use to reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where we get that from? From Umar radiallahu anhu, when he said that the people of opinions and analogy, they are the enemy of the sunnah. Listen to the continuation of the narration. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي أَرُدُّ قَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمَ أَبِي جَنْدَلْ بِرَأْيِي. He said, I remember in the day of Abi Jandal, when the Prophet ﷺ made the treaty with the kuffar. You remember in Sulh Hudaybiyah? Umar opposed this because his opinion that this is not a fair deal for Muslim. You follow me, Asad? It was not a fair deal for. That's his opinion. But his opinion was opposing what? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, yes, we do it. So he said, whenever the opinion go against a clear text, this opinion is cancelled. You cannot accept it. That's why when you see somebody like Dabusi, very famous Usuli Hanafi, said, whenever our Imam said something, go against the hadith, or verse from the Quran, أعوذ بالله. He said in Usul al-Dabusi, he said, this hadith is either weak or abrogated. And this verse is either abrogated verse or must be interpreted in a way goes with our Imam's opinion. That's what they refer to. That kind of talking, that's what's unacceptable. That's basically what they talking about. Also, listen to the analogy that Iblis did. Yani when you see Ibn Sirin said the first one who used analogy, Iblis. They talk about the analogy, not what Abu Hanifa used. No, what Iblis used. Abu Hanifa used it to prove the Sharia, but Iblis used it to oppose the Sharia. What was Sharia? What's the order that Iblis was given? Prostrate himself. What's the analogy that Iblis did? I'm created from fire. He's from mud. I'm better than him. The conclusion. He used this to oppose the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Sometimes the Salaf use the word opinion and ra'i to refer to innovations, not to the opinion that is jihad, which is acceptable in Sharia, to use the rules of the Sharia to come to arrive to a new conclusion. No, they're talking about the basically a ra'i with the opinion, which it means the innovations in religion. That's why al-Imam al-Kabir al-Maliki rahimahullah Suhnun said, when Umar radiallahu anhu said, اتقوا الرأي في دينكم, don't use opinion in religion or don't follow opinions, Suhnun said, he meant don't follow the innovations that was invented in religion. And that was one of the things that Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah mentioned in his book Al-I'tisam, and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah as well. Also, the ulama criticized using opinion and analogy to be obsessive in using them. Because if you put all your effort and your ilm in just collecting these opinions of so and so, and not to study the text, the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you're basically going away from the right, from the path of the companions radiallahu anhum wa ardhahum. Also, the scholars criticize that whenever they criticize that using opinion and analogy, when you talk about things hypothetic, things which is opinions, which is there is no need for even discussing it, which is we call it ara'aytiyin. You know what that means? Al ara'aytiyin. Those who said ara'ayta ya imam, if this and this happen, what do you think of this and the happen? Okay, somebody said, Sheikh, what if this and this happen? What would you do? What if this and this happen? What do you think of, you see, making up questions which is impossible to happen. You read, for example, in one of the books of the fiqh, they tell you, when you pray to Kaaba, do you pray to the actual Kaaba or to the foundation of the Kaaba? Okay, what's the point? They said, لو ذهبت الكعبة لزيارة أحد أولياء الله الصالحين. If the Kaaba goes to visit one of the righteous saint people and you seeing it moving, would you follow it or you stay to the foundations? This is ridiculous. And guess what? Somebody said, yes, it is. And somebody said, no, it's not, it is. I remember once I was doing Hajj. May Allah forgive us. With a bunch of students of knowledge, unfortunately. And they are all like, all of us, all of them, student of Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Anyway, we're standing in our tent was close by the end of Arafah. And mashallah, this Egyptian woman, mashallah, huge woman, sleeping. And she was sleeping, and basically half of her body outside Arafah, and the upper half, and the lower half is inside Arafah. So the sheikh started asking, what do you think if this woman kept sleeping until tomorrow Fajr? Would be considered her Hajj valid or not valid? So one said, I think it's valid because the vast majority of her body was inside the bigger portion of her body. And the rule goes to the ghalib, to the majority. Then other person, no, I don't think it's valid because her aql and his heart, which is the taklif related to the outside. So the other person, and I said, guys, let me go wake her up a bit inside. That's it. I mean, this kind of opinions, and you know what, discussing this is ridiculous. That's what the Salaf forbade or يعني, made this not right. Imam Ahmad, Abu Bakr al-Khalal mentioned that once Imam Ahmad was walking, somebody told him, Ya Ahmad. He said what? He said, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Muslims or kafir? He's planning to give them da'wah. Then Imam Ahmad said, do you know what to say when you leave the masjid? He said, no. Do you know what to say when you enter the masjid? He said, no. He said, about things like this, you should ask. Kar an mithli hadha fas'al. Ask about things like this. In certain time, especially in Iraq, people were very fast ask weird questions. يعني Imam al-Sha'bi rahimahullah, a person asked him, what is the name of Iblis wives? He said, he didn't invite me to his wedding. Then of course, I was not invited to this wedding. So, when they criticize opinions and analogy when related to things like this, very, not practical things. Also, one of the things that they said, if you based your opinion or analogy on another opinion or analogy, this is very interesting. You remember what I said when I defined analogy? To give the ruling of well-established issue. So the analogy have to have a reference point. That reference point must be a text from Quran or Sunnah. But it cannot be the reference point that you take the rule from it and apply it to another. It's another qiyas. That's not acceptable in the methodology of Ahl Sunnah. That's something they don't accept. You have to have a text. And from that text, you use it as a reference point for you to make the analogy to, and to apply the ruling to a new issues, to a new issues. Not based on somebody's opinion. For example, wallahi, the opinion of the sheikh on this, that. So I can make analogy. Based on his opinion on this, I would say the ruling will be this. You follow me, Haytham? So it's not allowed to say his opinion to be a reference point. That's not right. And that's a lot of counting of the scholars talking about this. Also, a lot of ulama said that most of these texts, most of this narration, criticizing using analogy and using opinion, referring to using opinion and analogy in the matter of the unseen. In aqeedah, unseen. Because you cannot use just a simple, pure opinion and analogy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing similar to Him, and you cannot talk about the unseen from your own. You know what? I think the gates of Jannah will have the 8 colors of the rainbow. Excuse me? Where you got that from? I'm thinking about it the whole day. Why there is 8 colors in the rainbows? And 8 gates? That's it. I got it. You know, this person needs to check his brain. Okay. You need to take it easy a little bit. And there's a lot of details. I don't want to go into it. But these are some categories, a few categories, that you can look at. And with this, you understand why there is a criticism for using analogy, why there is a criticism of using opinion, and you know that this is no, you cannot generalize this criticism, but that's what they refer to when this, the early Muslim generation of the ulama, criticizing ra'i or qiyas. Is that understood? Is that easy to understand? How many points did you guys have? 7. Very good. That's good enough, I guess. Okay, let's have a break for 5 minutes and come back, shall we?
For more videos, audio, and exclusive content, please check out www.sharethekhair.org. Jazakallah khair for listening. Please feel free to share this audio recording with friends and family.